Good afternoon, everyone. It's 5 minutes into the hour. If it's okay with everybody, we'd like to get started. We have this session is a very informal session. That's why we call it compliance outreach. So please join us at the table. First, it's more comfortable if you're trying to do more work or something. You have a table to have to work on. So just if you don't mind, join us. It's easier to see people's faces with these big walls in the middle. That would be awesome. Again, the focus of this session is registrars, compliance as it relates to registrars, from 2 to 3. And then at 3 o'clock, we'll have a five-minute break, and then we start immediately with compliance for registries. Please join us at the table, if it's okay. Oh, okay. All right. So my name is Maggie Surad, and I am the head of the contractual compliance department at ICANN. Joining me in the room are two of my coworkers. I have Carlos Alvarez, if you would, there you go. And I have Owen Smigelski. And I know Stacy is going to join me shortly. So thanks again for joining us. Like I said at the beginning, the focus of this one-hour session is compliance as it relates to our contracted parties, the registrars. Before we get started, I would like to just raise of hand how many in the audience are not a contracted party, are not registrars, or are just because I'm looking at a lot of new faces. Okay, just trying to understand what kind of level of participants we have and how much we need to not take for granted, but kind of make sure we're speaking to it at a different level. All right. Have you attended any of the compliance sessions? Did you do the newcomers?
No, we're not newcomers, actually.
Okay. Okay, you're registered. All right, great. So we have perspective. That kind of puts it together better. Thank you. So on Tuesday, during our constituency day, we showed this presentation here and tried to address the specific questions that were asked of us for registrars. What I'd like to do is, before we do an open and take questions and do a Q&A, how many have seen our compliance update this week? So I'm not repeating. All right, so you've seen it. Okay. You have not. All right. Okay, so what I'd like to do then, maybe if you don't mind, because the majority has seen it, and we don't want people to take a nap or siesta, we can do more of the dialogue up front, and I promise to leave at least 15 minutes at the end for the team members around here who are interested in learning more about compliance. What are we working on? What is our approach? So we don't repeat for the audience. Okay? Thank you very much for understanding. So with that in mind, what I'd like to do is, again, we've shared the slides here, and we talked to them on Tuesday with specifically addressing few questions that came to us from the registrar stakeholder group, and then we shared about the process. Part of today's session, I would like to also allocate, before the end of it, some brainstorming session for a process that compliance is working on for referrals to law enforcement. We had started dialogues on that in the past. I would like to use this forum to just kind of validate and get more input from the audience. Okay? So please, when you speak to the mic, this session is being recorded, and we have participants on Adobe Connect so that they know who's addressing. All right. With that intro, are there any questions to the presentation we had or the discussion we had on Tuesday with the registrar stakeholder team? Any questions? So, again, for the audience, I think the most important thing I want to stress here is there are changes in our approach, and those changes in the approach that are tied to the process will also be done to the application. So from our registrar stakeholder team, I'd like to just kind of validate, are you today, when you hopefully you're not receiving many, but if you receive inquiries or notices from compliance, is it becoming clearer for you what phase of the process you are in when it says first, second, third? Are you seeing that consistent approach? Not yet. Okay. Maybe you get more from there. What complaints do you usually get your way? Because if it's transfers, you should see that. No?
Do you want me to actually say something?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know I don't have a problem with saying things anyway.
Yes.
So let's.
Yes, you must state them factually, not just an opinion, please.
Maggie, you're
Come
no
on, fun. Sunshine.
Oh, don't you start. just... Hey, I mean, we haven't had that many compliance notices.
Yes.
But it is very hard to see what the hell is going on. I mean, for example, we received one in relation to data escrow from somebody on your team. I'm not too sure who. I can't remember. It wasn't you personally, but it wasn't Stacey. And we replied to the email saying, yes, we're looking into this and we will resolve it. And it just kind of, I never got a reply or anything. I mean, a simple, okay, thanks, please update us.
Okay.
Or if you were using some kind of same ticketing system, I would have expected an automated receipt for the email. That would have been helpful. I mean, we had other ones where it was a supposed who is issue. Same kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, it's like I don't like the idea of an entity that is capable of pulling my contract not acknowledging my replies when they ask me for things, because for all I know your email server could be rejecting emails from my end. If that's the case, then, you know, maybe I need to phone you. Maybe I need to send you a fax. Maybe I need to send you a physical letter. You know, that's, I mean, the last thing I want to end up happening is that just because of some stupid glitch or something like that, the things fall through the cracks.
Okay.
Another issue we had was when we had a data breach earlier this year, we reported to you and we reported to the registrar liaison at the time, they're now called registrar relation managers or something, around the issue, but yet we were contacted by somebody else within ICANN to ask what was going on, whereas I thought we had already reported the issue.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm trying my best.
Yes.
To, you know, not upset people, and yet it seems to be working against me.
Thank you, Michele. May I ask, we just ask one question at a time, because I don't have a notepad to note all the questions. And this, like I said, it's a much more relaxed forum for us to have a dialogue, please. So to the first comment, it's very valid comment you made about acknowledgement. And as I had shared with the audience, since my arrival, we have archaic tools. We're upgrading slowly, and I know you're tired of hearing that. I know I heard that loud and clear. Don't you think we're tired of saying it? But if you've worked with technology, it doesn't happen overnight. So with the three fragmented tools, there's some of them have only a notification at the beginning, and that's it. But it's a requirement that we have for the upgrade we plan on doing. Yes.
Maggie, with all due respect, I'm talking about a human being replying
to
an email,
right.
Not anything to do with any complicated system.
Right.
I mean, if an email is sent out and it has a reply to field, and maybe a person's name in it, and maybe a specific person's email address in there,
yes.
And I send an email to that person,
mm-hmm.
I would expect a reply. I'm not interested in any IT systems that may or may not exist, that may or may not function. So it's a much simpler thing. Like, for example, if you send me an email, which you have done in the past,
mm-hmm.
I have replied to those emails
yes.
when a reply was necessary.
Yes.
I mean, for God's sake, I reply to emails about the most random things from
yes.
from people, as do most of the other people sitting in this room. And I would expect compliance staff to do the same.
So point well taken. Reply to emails. We've noted that, Michele, and I will follow up on that one internally. Okay. Please, Carlos or Owen. Thank you. Regarding the other topic where we did appreciate that proactive, because you proactively noted to us and to the registrar liaison team about the breach. So that help us, and we didn't contact you, you're right, because you kept us informed. We didn't have, it was not our time to come to you about it. So I don't know who was the other party you referred to that contacted you. I'm not sure. But from a compliance perspective, we did hear from you and acknowledge it, yes.
Yes, unfortunately, that wasn't filtered back into other parts of the organization. I don't want to pick on a particular
sure.
ICANN staff member. I don't think that's appropriate.
Right.
However, you know, this is not the first time where, mm-hmm. you know, we have had a conversation with one side. So, mm-hmm. for example, we could be talking to compliance, and I would have expected that compliance would be talking to the registrar liaison team and vice versa, yet it's pretty obvious from the conversations we have with people that's not happening.
Okay.
And, I mean, while you may be a slightly larger organization than ourselves, you're not an IBM or an Apple with thousands and thousands of employees.
Okay. Reply to emails, internal communication. Noted. Thank you. So, again, I know some other team members joined later. If this is a very casual session, guys. The focus on contracted parties, the registrars, open dialogue. I did promise certain new audience members that the last 15 minutes of the session, and you please, can you be the timekeeper? So tell me when it's 15 minutes into the before the hour, and we make sure I conclude so I can provide some of the general updates on registrar compliance. But this topic is open for all, and the question I had started with is, with our current registrars sitting around the table, are you seeing the process, again, like I said, the process updates are slowly taking place in the applications, and it should be clear, and if you're not seeing that, I want you please to inform me. The only system that has not been updated yet on the old tools is the WDPRS, which is the Who Is Inaccuracy. But if you are receiving complaints, compliance notices or inquiries, it should be very clear to you from the title which step it's in. If you're not, I personally ask of each of you to, even if you're going to bombard my email, I'm like Michaeli, I do get to my emails by the end of the day, even if that's a 4 a.m. end of day. So you should be able to start seeing a consistent approach to our communication with clear dates, clear titles, so you know, or anyone on your compliance team has an idea what phase it's in and what to expect next. If you're not, please let me know. Okay? All right. So with that, again, this is the only update that's not completed yet. It's with the Who Is Inaccuracy, which we know has caused a lot of challenges for us because we have multiple what we call bad complainants, and we've got multiple complaints that have gone through. We did acknowledge yesterday that we do track it manually for the sake of transparency, and I know that's not a popular answer. And I know I'm saying I'm working on it, but I'm giving you dates for those. But what we're going to do is tighten up even further the manual validation, even if it takes our resources longer to process that. So we're going to do our best with that. But if it still slips, send it to us so we can make sure we identify where the slippage was, so we can inform whoever is the analyst processing it if it's missed, or we can, if it's not logged in our entry, we add it to our list. Okay? Not going to talk to these slides. I would like to get to, are there any questions on the process? Because again, it's tying the process with the implementation. We're going to finish updating this old archaic WDPRS end of July. Immediately after end of July, when we get to Toronto, I'm going to have a very clear plan to you about what is our plan and how far are we into migrating all of our complaint systems into one. We should not be thinking of complaint systems as system A, B, and C. It's going to be one central complaint system and tool. So we're looking at opportunities, and if you want to share with us what are some of the requirements. Like for Internet today, when people go to log in tickets, we're also going to look at that. It's not a user-friendly interface where we want to add drop-down, put it in more English format, and allow even multiple entries. But what is a multiple entry criteria, for example? You know, is it 10? Is it 5 per complaint? These are the things that we want to engage with you to know how would that impact you on the other side. So we're doing a lot of requirement gathering in the next few months for this central consolidated tool for compliance to manage the operations. So in Toronto, we will have more dialogue because the first part of the upgrade to consolidate is going to take everything off the old platform and put it on the new platform. So by the time we get to Toronto, we will be engaging you more and more with that. Yes, Michele.
Since nobody else seems to be jumping on you, I will. Looking at the internet site at the moment, you have two forms for reporting issues to you. Mm-hmm. The question I would have, and maybe this has been covered somewhere, but if it was, I missed it. Why on earth do you have an option to report issues with CCTLDs? I mean, it's on the form there.
Yeah.
You have an issue for CCTLDs. That's got nothing to do with your remit. You also have one for spam and abuse, which I would see as being largely problematic. I mean, redirecting it to somebody who can actually do something about it might be helpful. Username and password. I mean,
right.
That's another one. I don't
right.
understand why that's
right.
there.
So let me take that's a very good question. It was one of the questions I asked when I came on. The first thing I did is, okay, what does our compliance interface look like? And I saw all those. It is out of scope for contractual compliance. However, we are not the only users of that tool. We have different staff members that are receiving complaints through the tool. So it was a tool that was designed for a catch-all, that was designed even before ICANN became ICANN, I think. It's just that old of a tool. That's why we're looking at it now to see what is truly a compliance complaint logging tool needs to look like. What are the drop-down? Now, having said that, Michele, people are going to still log complaints of that nature, but what happens, there's an automated response that directs them to the right link or to the right team or to the right resource to pursue it further. But the ones that are compliance, they get queued up in our queue. There are even the registrar liaison team uses Internic and has complaints coming to them from there. So it's a tool for many, many users to go to. Yes.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Matt. Please state your name, because this session, for the first time, we're recording.
I
and
was
it's Adobe.
Just about to. Matt Serlin, I'm the chair of the Registrar Stakeholder Group. So thanks for taking the time out to do these sessions. I think these are productive. I've got a couple questions, thoughts, mm-hmm. just top of mind things, so forgive me for rambling. The first is, can you or have you put together a roadmap, a simple four-quarter yearly roadmap for registrars to see what the compliance team is doing and what the target completion dates are for those items?
Okay. A four-quarter roadmap, no.
Okay.
But what I've done is through the three-year plan, I focus every year on one that year plan. And what we've been doing is through the discussions we've had is sharing what we're working towards, like the process evolution, the changes in the communication, and like these decks here.
Yeah, I get that. The,
yeah.
The problem, I think, is that these decks are, you know, you're on slide 12. And I think that from a registrar's perspective, it's difficult for us to walk away from a session like this to understand what's going to be coming at us and when it's going to be coming at us. And so
okay.
I'd request that if you could, maybe it's not a year, but to put together some sort of a very simple, easy-to-read snapshot of mm-hmm. what your focus is and when you anticipate completion, whether it be a system, a process, whatever it may be.
Okay.
Number two is I'd like to hear thoughts or ideas that you might have about trying to increase the interaction between the compliance staff and registrars, because I think what we're falling into is that we meet in person three times a year, and in between those three meetings, all kinds of stuff happens, and you guys walk into our meeting on Tuesday, and registrars want to go at you with pitchforks because that's the only opportunity we have. And so I think whether it's a monthly update to specific to registrars, whether it's a teleconference, whatever it is, I think we need to get some better communication, because otherwise, I think our meetings are going to continue to just go around and around in circles, and frankly, not be a good use of any of our time. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Great ideas. We did think about those as outreach sessions. And again, it was just more of you arrive into a new world, and there's so many things. I'm not making excuses, but that is a great idea, and I do welcome that opportunity. And I've reached out in the past, as you know, to the registrar when Mason was the chair, to do pilots and discussions, and you guys have been amazingly supportive of that. So I would like to ask you as a chair to tell us once a month, an hour, we just do an open invite, and we know that all your registrars can dial in. It's no limited. It has to be, though, within the audience of your stakeholder group, and we can prepare that. Another idea we're working towards is more of monthly updates or updates as we have as we evolve through the program, so you know what's coming. So the question, for example, to our registrars, did you receive, for example, the IRTP deck that speaks about the changes that became effective June 1st? We sent those through the registrar liaison team. They have a mailing list for all the registrars. We tried to do a webinar, but with the time zones, the language challenges, and again, not an excuse, but we need to plan them better. What we resulted to is we put a PowerPoint together. Pam led that effort. And the PowerPoint was put in a PDF format, and we sent it to all the registrars as an outreach activity to inform you that this is a compliance activity that's is going to impact you and us. So did you guys receive it? Did you see it? Was an email a good communication or not? Sassy Jen, did you get it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Jennifer Gore from web.com. Sorry. It's Jennifer Gore with web.com. I think, absolutely, I think that's the best way for you to communicate with us. It's the way we seem to communicate with each other as registrars.
I can't hear you, Jen, sorry.
Can you hear me?
I'm sitting right next to you.
I know.
Well, it doesn't
I hear an echo through the speaker.
Jen, it's a good question.
Okay. So, I think something just regarding this chart up here, Maggie, I think we're just looking for a little bit more detail, not necessarily detail to the level of a Gantt chart, but something along the lines of a project plan where it has the deliverables, proposed timelines, so we can be prepared, have the resources lined up, get the processes in place from a small registrar's perspective to a large registrar's perspective.
Yes.
And this is great. This is a great slide from a conceptual standpoint. I think we're just looking to get that next level of detail.
And I have that. I've presented it before, but I can pull it and add more stuff to it. So thank you for the feedback.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Hi, James.
Hello, Maggie. So James Boyle, GoDaddy registrar. And I think just to build on some of our dialogue from Los Angeles, I do appreciate the outreach. And I think one of the things that a lot of registrars that are active in ICANN hear and probably get a little fatigued of hearing is when we meet with whether it's law enforcement or governments or other groups, and they'll say, registrars are bad, registrars are evil, registrars are terrible. Oh, wait, but not you, other registrars. Yeah. And I think what we're saying is help us.
Yes.
As we continue to want to help ICANN compliance put some more distance between us and those registrars that apparently are getting everybody so fired up that they have to come and take it out on the people who show up at ICANN. And so just to reiterate some of the comments that we made previously is the two pieces of advice I have for ICANN compliance, if I could be so presumptuous, is to try to be a little more careful and try not to be so careful all the time. Because when we come to things like who is, and I get 400 or something complaints dropped on me at 4:59 on a Friday and before a holiday, and then half of them are old or for country codes or for other registrars' names, that's someone is not being careful, because that's a 10-second confirmation to look up and see, is this even make any sense? On the other hand, Building systems, building tools, automating processes is a good use of time for high volume things. But, and we have this conversation over drinks, I'm sure that every registrar in this room could write on a secret envelope the names of the three registrars that you need to be looking at and put under your door, under your hotel room. And I bet you that we would all come up with the same 3 to 5 names of the folks who aren't playing by the rules. They're, you know, that are dragging down and sullying the whole industry, you know.
What
so somebody just unplugged your projector.
It's probably one of those three.
Yeah, it's probably one of those nasty registrars. So, this is just my message,
Sean.
Here is that help us put some distance between us and the bad guys. We know who they are.
Yes.
We sure hope you know who they are. We'd love to tell you, but some of us are nervous that that would smack of, you know, anti-competitive stuff, so we're not telling you. But we're kind of hinting and nudging and winking in the right direction and hoping that you would perhaps save your microscope for the folks who really need it and less for, you know the GoDaddies of the world who are going to give you the attention you deserve regardless of,
right.
You know, of the level. So that's just kind of a recap of my thoughts with compliance, because I think you guys are doing great. Like, for example, the self-assessment, brilliant idea. More of that, please. You know, those kinds of things can help leverage your staff, leverage your resources, and really get some things going. And if you've got registrars who are ignoring the self-assessment or turning it back in with blanks, well, there's your first big clue, hint that there's some bad guys out there.
So, thank you, James. I've already started on my special sheet of paper all the good advice. Be careful, but not so careful. I've had people tell me grow teeth or whatever. You know, again, I'm speaking three languages in my mind as I hear a few things. But on the outreach activity, what I want to share is something I didn't get an opportunity to share yesterday, if we can get the projector going. First of all, I do have Post-its. So what I'd like to do is pass the Post-it around, keep it anonymous. Just put the three names on that Post-it. I cannot tell who the handwriting is, but I can tell if I receive an email who it's from, right? So, again, I'll pass the Post-its around. I'll start with James, but then you can do whatever you want. Just put those names. I'm serious. I don't want to assume. If you've known me for a year now, I don't like to assume. So give me that information, and if we're not already monitoring a few things, we will do it, look at it differently. But I want to share with the audience, especially the registrars, we reached out. You know, we had shared with you. Now that we have a little more staff, we're trying to get our processes and our operations aligned. So whether you're talking to an analyst, 1, 2, or 3, we know that the process is followed equally. It was not before. So now at least we're marching. You know, we've got the choir. We're marching to the same direction. One of the activities we did last trimester, you know, we work on trimester basis. We did a very simple math. We did not do it by percent of domain volume per registration, none of that. We did a very simple approach. We looked at the complaint volume just by pure number. And I know not to pick on the big registrars in the room, because you can imagine big registrars will get big numbers. But we reached out to 10 registrars for who is inaccuracy activities and for transfer issues. Based on the volume we've seen, and I am very happy to announce that we had, I think, one registrar we're not able to connect with. We tried. But of all of those activities, so a total of 20.
I'm sorry. Can you go back a second? You have a registrar that you're not able to connect with?
No, the timing. Get the right appointments. But that's a different story. All right? But let me focus on the message here. No. Okay. I'm not sharing with you who the 10 registrars we talked to. It's not a name and shame here. Right.
No.
James can tell you he's one.
We're on every list. I'm sorry.
Right. But we did that. Look, we did. That's the second and the third bullet. And here is the outcome of this outreach. It was nothing more than a 1 hour discussion and dialogue to share with the registrar the volume of complaints in that one trimester. And we shared with them what the complaints were about and some level of details. But we also reached out to the registrar, help us understand your process, your procedures, your best practices. So it was a very informative dialogue, because we even learned from many of the conversations some of the good practices. I don't want to say best practices, that gets to be used a lot lately. Some of the good practices that are applied out there. So again, we're trying to look at it from the different angle instead of just base it on the number. And in some areas, we also acknowledge in some areas it requires a little bit more of training or interpretation or dialogue at a different level. So we're trying to do some of those outreach activities, James, that you talked about. But let's see what I was going to say here. Yes. So the objective was listed on the top. The reason you see 16 out of 20, because we had a couple of registrars that overlapped in both areas, and we combined the call.
Yeah, I have a question about the outreach. Tom Keller from 101. Apparently, we are not an American registrar, we're a German one, and we always find it very hard, actually, to engage in any kind of conversation with a compliance team due to the fact that it's more than 8 hours away for most of the year. So do you have any indication whether you're trying to build up staff in Europe? I mean, we have very few incidents I'm aware of, actually, but if you talk about, you know, sufficient compliance, as always, the parties that have to work with each other know each other. All we get are certain random requests from random people we never seen in our lives, sometimes random telephone calls asking us to do certain things. We're aware of that we have the duty to do that, and we do that, mm-hmm. but it's not a very efficient and it's not a very trusted way to actually work together. And I'm sure that we're not the only registrar in Europe that actually has that feeling, so everything I see you guys doing probably makes a lot of sense, but it's very, very far away from our own living reality. So the question is, most of the things, or what one of the realities is, if we have to actually do something, so we just had the occurrence that one of your staff thought that our telephone numbers were not correct anymore. Oh, it happened then that person wasn't allowed to call to Germany. But we got a request to please rectify it, and it was a pretty harsh request, actually. So we had to follow that through the registry relation team, in Europe,
Steve Coban,
to actually have that issue resolved, because when we work, it's very unlikely to get anyone on the phone at your place. So since there will be more and more registrars in areas where there's not even the same, not even talking about the time zone, but it's a language, we will really have a big issue in terms of compliance. So what are your ideas about actually kind of improving that kind of situation?
So the question, I have a question for you, please. Is the challenge the language or the time difference?
Well, the thing is, I'm in a fortunate position that I have enough people hooked up, actually, that don't have a language problem. So it's more the time issue, and it's the understanding issue of processes you have. Okay. So if you're not like, I would say, a company like GoDaddy that deals on a daily basis with a big department on that, you know, it's very hard to understand why you do certain things and what time and what would be the proper response. Okay. So there should be more engagement, there should be more understanding of the processes, and there should be a contact person we can reach in our own time zone. We can maybe even meet in real, you know, I don't take my compliance stuff with me here. Right?
Yeah.
So you're not going to attend meetings. So, but if there would be in Brussels, we probably should arrange or could arrange a meeting where I send my people there so that they get to know each other and kind of get lower the friction a bit to actually make that more efficient.
Okay, well, we can take it offline. I'm not sure about a relationship building here as much as understanding the process and procedures and how it should work. But we can take it offline to address that. But to answer you at a bigger picture regarding staffing, it is in our plan to staff in different regions. But right now, again, we're building the staff, and we've got it in the regions where we have offices and we have other staff members. Because as you can imagine, just hiring and placing without that, it's not the most efficient for us. We're building in the areas we have. But if I may use an example, I know when I first came on board, the language nor the time zone were an issue. I don't know who Luke is. Luke in the audience? There you are. Hi, Luke. I came on board, and Luke, I called him. It was 11 p.m. his time on the cell phone. So via exchange of an email, we were able to connect and resolve a major issue. I don't want that time zone to be an issue, but I hear your problem is a more long-term, ongoing. You want to be able to have that dialogue in the right time zone and the right resources.
Yes.
Okay. We'll consider what some solutions might be. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, Mohammed from Senegal, Herald.com. Mm-hmm. I just want, based on the previous intervention, to minimize the impact of the language problem. I think that this is, the language problem is still, I just don't want, based on the previous intervention, that we think that the language problem is a very small one. I think that in the global trend of ICANN trying to resolve a better communication between all different stakeholders, putting a priority on whenever you can get interface available in different languages will be really a major issue, and it's going to help sort out many problems that are due to the language barrier.
Yes. On our staff, and I'm sorry I didn't get your name.
That's Mohamed Diop from Senegal, Africa,
Herald.com. Thank you, Mohamed. Currently, our staff can handle 7 languages. And again, to address the previous comment, if when we dialogue through email, if there's a need to have a phone call conversation like I experienced myself when I was working with Luke, we agreed on a time and we had the dialogue. So we can make the resources available to have a dialogue. It's not an issue. And languages is not an issue. I know I committed to a time. We're approaching the hour. I want to have a 5-minute, and it's not enough for this topic, but I want us to get the brainstorming dialogue going here, the thinking. Months back, we looked at a process for law enforcement to refer matters to compliance. And we had a pilot team from the registrar stakeholder team where we reviewed it with them and they provide input. That process has been followed and continue to be followed today. We leveraged that same process and turned it around. What if compliance gets matters referred to us that we need to forward to law enforcement? Or what if in the process of addressing an issue or researching or investigating or whatever, we discover an activity that is not in the scope of the contractual compliance, but it also has a risk for the community. So we started this draft based on different dialogues we've had, and we're having the same dialogue, guys, with everybody, not just registrars. The same slide's going to show up with the registry. The same slide was discussed with law enforcement. The same slide will be discussed with other stakeholder groups, internal to ICANN and within the ICANN community. So the idea is very high level. A process map, whether a report is submitted or we identify it through an audit or through a complaint system, it's detecting a malicious activity. So we're trying to identify here what would be the right steps and actions to take. Again, I know we're approaching the hour and don't have a lot of time to discuss, but you have the deck, the registrar stakeholder team members. If you don't mind, take a look at it. And back to Matt's earlier comment. Matt and I will establish a dialogue where we have stand-up meetings between now and Toronto so we can have special topics to discuss. And this will be one of the topics where I'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Is there a step missing here? Is there something that you're concerned about? And what would that be? Don't just tell me I don't like it. Tell me what would be a recommendation and what would be a requirement. So we will collect all this and we will review them and come back and try to address what we're looking at here. Okay? So the most important thing we want to stress on this slide here is that we'd want to approach malicious activities can be of different widths and ranges of reasons. No matter where and what that is, we want to have a standard approach to follow, but we also want to have a standard template to where we can generate what we call here generating a report. We're trying to, again, it's a Word document now, but that's for the future. It will be automated. But we want to generate and capture the high level of information. And I will send that PDF file with this because I don't know, you can link to it once you have it on your desk. Yes, Volker.
Maybe two questions here. First thing is see detect malicious activity within the compliance department, so you would actively verify that the report is accurate. Is that correct?
We're not law enforcement agencies, you know that. But yeah, if we come across an activity, Carlos, what would be an example of that?
Domains registered with the purpose of distributing malware, child abuse material, all those related issues. Even if we don't have the exact evidence, because we may not have it, because we will not conduct law enforcement investigations, because it's not within our role, if it looks bad, it would fall under a potential matter to be referred.
But there will be a first review, manual review by ICANN staff
of
that false positives are or obvious false reports are not reported. And
yes,
the second question would be, when you have law enforcement agencies at the bottom, which ones will that be? German, U.S., Syrian, Chinese?
This will be, again, defined and worked on with the law enforcement team members that are actively involved with the ICANN community. We met with them yesterday for 2 hours because we are not qualified, one, to do the investigation, and we don't want that. We're not agents. The second thing is, so we don't know who is legitimate or not, and we should not be in that role. So today, even though there is not a stakeholder group called law enforcement, but we know who are some of the key players, and we will have to depend on them to guide us through some of the stuff. It's being defined, Volker. That's all I can say. We want to do our due diligence. Yes.
Fair enough.
Okay? My timekeeper? We'll close. Yes. We will take one more question, please, because we have audience people in the audience who have not seen the full update about registrar's compliance. Yes, sir.
One question. Well, it's three
the
very
mic,
quick
please,
points.
And your name.
Rob Golding from Othello. Whilst I understand that the number of complaints will be greater for the larger registrars and obviously for our friend over in the colonies,
that's what we call Arizona too.
Oh, right. Okay. You have an office in Europe. You have very good staff in Europe. Steve is absolutely fantastic. Whenever we've wanted anything done, I have to echo one's point of view. We need compliance in that office in Brussels. We need them in the right time zone with the right frame of mind. Laws are different. You know, issues are potentially different, and local staff will make a difference, I believe. If you want details of malicious activity, my personal opinion is the most malicious thing happening to endanger registrants and the internet at large is the mass amount of fake renewal notices that go out from some registrars, but more likely their resellers, because that confuses registrants. That takes away our business,
yes,
and nobody ever seems to be doing anything about that.
Yes. No, minor correction. We are looking and researching within our system some of the complaints that relate to that. I'm not at liberty to share it because we have not concluded that study, because we're looking at it proactively.
Right.
Similar to what James referred to earlier on the self-assessment, we are now doing an internal assessment. We've done the pilot with the registrar, now we're doing it internally. What is the effort? Do we have the right data? We want to do a full circle to make sure we're doing it right.
Can
and
I
we come
just
back.
Send the 300 or so a week we get sent to our offices to ICANN?
Okay.
And thirdly, systems are great. Procedures are fantastic. But
yes,
resolution happens largely between people. But you could cut down the amount of dross that some of us seem to get relating to complaints if you simply updated the internet site on the WDRP page to say which TLDs it refers to. I mean, there are only,
yes,
like 15 of them. Just, it could have been done during the scope of this meeting.
Thank you for your comment.
The other thing, Maggie, before we let you off the hook, I noticed on one of your slides there that you listed that you had a huge number of complaints and non-compliant registrars in China. And the simple question, I mean, going back to this point that Rob's raised, that one has raised, that others have raised, why don't you have compliance staff in China? Why? No, please, let me finish. Because we, as registrars, are sick of having to deal with law enforcement, state agencies, all sorts of other non-contracted parties, points at saying that registrars are evil, we're causing issues, and yet I can look at the spam that comes into my mail servers, and I see the domain names that are referenced, and I know damn well they refer to 3 or 4 accredited registrars who are in a particular region of the world. So the question is, have ICANN compliance staff been to China recently? Have they gone to those registrars, and have they addressed those problems?
So again, the outreach activities included a lot of Chinese registrars. So, and we are looking for compliance in China. I've personally interviewed at least 3. We don't have a lot of applicants. So if you know of someone who can and is qualified, send them our way. With that, I really need to respect what I promised this couple of the audience members here. I'm passing the post-it. If there you see something James wrote and it's not what you're thinking, add it, please.
Yeah. Otherwise, just put your little tick mark next to mine, okay? And we'll just see if we get a tally. How's that?
There you go. Well, this was expressed from the registrars. If I can just refrain it to the registrars, maybe. If you want separate one, let us know. Again, no problem. I'm not going after them. It's just I want to see if we are aligned on this idea.
And if anybody writes down the name of someone in this room, then that's no beers, of course.
Yeah, but Maggie, with all due respect, while you may be having issues finding staff in China, you have avoided the question I asked you, which was whether you have sent any of your current compliance staff to the registrars in China that you have listed as causing problems.
Not yet.
Why not?
We've had phone calls with them.
But why have you not physically gone to their offices? I know damn well that either myself, James, Rob, Tom, Volker, Luke, any of us have an issue.
Yes.
I will probably have Steve Gobin or Tim Cole or somebody else will arrive on my doorstep or will harass me via email, via the phone and everything else. Now, I am perfectly happy to comply with my contract, but I expect other contracted parties to be forced to the same level of compliance. And I'm sick to my teeth of having to fight this fight with respect to the ongoing negotiations around the RAA, where basically a failure to act on the behalf of compliance is putting us in a very untenable position.
I heard you.
And it's nothing personal against you, Maggie, just so you understand.
Guys, stop saying nothing personal.
No, it's
this is a task I'm in. It's not about Maggie.
You know, I know your staff, first name basis.
Yes.
Hi, Stacy.
Yes.
You know, get Pam on a plane.
James, take a step back. Get Pam on the plane. You sent her to do what? We're putting an audit strategy, and some of the objectives and the strategies approaches are going to be targeting certain areas. Get Pam on the plane. How big is China, and where are all these registrars? It's easy to say. It's not as easy to implement. You have to have a specific plan and objective to go after it.
But you know where their offices are, surely.
We are managing, as I said, with the outreach, targeted a lot of Chinese registrars by phone, and it was conducted in Mandarin. So we are approaching it to how we can approach it now.
And I don't mean to sound, but you know, you mentioned with Matt having outreach.
Yes.
And he's going to be very helpful, and we're all going to attend. That's the wrong audience. The people that we're talking to, they're not members of the registrar stakeholder group, and they don't come to ICANN.
Correct.
So having outreach sessions with the folks here, or working with Matt and previously with Mason, it's the wrong audience.
And that's why we're doing sending the email to all the registrars. We're looking at ways to reach each and every one of them.
Also, so Rod, you don't get a vote, Rod.
So we're looking at means to reach everybody, because we know the people sitting around the table is not the audience you guys are concerned about. But from my perspective is when we have, they all follow the same process. We follow them for complaints and the same approach we're doing with everybody. But with the outreach, we did focus, and the calls that we targeted were one of the steps of many things to come in the future. Okay? Sorry about that. All right. So how much do you know, for the audience here that is not from the registrar stakeholder group, that has not seen some of this stuff, so because of the time we have about 10 minutes, What would you like to know about? Is it you want to know what is our plan or what is our approach when we have compliance issues? Or what about the volume of complaints? What is of interest for you? So I can hit that first before we continue. Okay. All right. Okay, I think you've heard through the different questions, you know, we've had challenges. We're short on staff, short on tools. So the focus has been over the last 2 years is establishing the foundation, and that's what we focus here. And what was missing also was a solid way for us to measure performance and a consistent way to measure, because we were not handling the complaints in a consistent fashion. So we could not measure and report apple to oranges. We wanted to be able to report apple to apple when it relates to complaints. So we focused a lot on the metrics, and we've improved our data gathering. We're prototyping a metrics tool. We call it business intelligence. Another activity that we focused on tremendously is I did not have the right skill set on the team to do risk and audit management. We hired someone 3 months ago, and his focus has been on putting together that risk and audit strategy that we're going to have an outreach session in Toronto to share with the audience, looking at provisions, looking at contracted parties, different slice and dice approach. Again, well, what would be a common sense? What is the sample size to run audits? Because there's no way you can do audits on everybody, and you shouldn't. Is it the bad actors? Is it the repeat offenders? You know, all these, we're putting all these criteria together. But also sometimes even good actors, you just need to do your homework and sample size and do that. So we're building an audit strategy to address that. We want to build an audit strategy too that's going to be a repeated one so we can measure and trend, but also an audit strategy where we can execute on demand that will allow us to do those trips that you heard some of the team members around the table. Why aren't you traveling? We want to go with a plan and execution and follow what we are contractually obligated to do, but also we have the right to do. Another thing we've been focusing on is also our new GTLD readiness organizationally. But everything we're doing is towards that same objective. I'm going to do is skip a couple of slides, and if you are interested in this deck, it will be published on our website under compliance, but it will also be published in the different forums. What I want to share here, you saw this slide. This is the approach we follow. We focus tremendously on the informal resolution. It should not be surprise you're in breach. If you hear anybody on the floor saying they're surprised they got a breach, send them our way and tell them, no, you're lying. You can use that verb. Because we have an informal resolution process that is a very fact-based with chronology that takes it from step to the next to the next. But once you reach the final inquiry, if you have not responded by that date, we turn a breach notice around and it's published. Nothing is published in the informal resolution. We're getting a lot of push from the community. They want to know what's happening from day one. We're telling them no. Because this is not, we're not in the business to name and shame here. We're in the business to informally resolve it. If there is a reason for escalated compliance, that's what happens in enforcement, and you can go to the website and see all the outstanding notices out there. From a metrics perspective, for this trimester, we did an Excel dump. Again, but again, as we upgrade into our databases, this was fed into our business intelligence tool. What we're looking at it by the regions. Please, these are not the ICANN specific regions. These are what called United Nations regions, okay? But if you look at the percentage, the best way to read this chart is look at the legend on the top. And it's the best message is sometimes if you look at the volume of complaints based on the percentage of registration, look where the high volumes are. So that's where, back to the comments we heard earlier, outreach with you guys is not disciplinary outreach. It's brainstorming outreach. It's getting your thoughts, consulting with you. And in some cases, like with the who is and the transfer, it's to address specific issues we're seeing. But the outreaches are going to be focused in two ways, educational or consulting, whatever it is. We're going to have to cater to the needs here. But these are some of the numbers we're working with. And why are we doing that is to help us bring the right focus. Something we're also doing we weren't able to do and we're going to be doing more is trending. So to allow us to see what's happening and where are the spikes. And again, you all have this, but I wanted to get to this slide. There are different complaint types, but to date, we have been reporting on these activities. And you see a big chunk up there, customer service. This goes back to the very first question that we heard from Michele, is why do you receive CCTLD complaints? Why? These are all bucketed under customer service because the tool today serves also complaints for customer service. We do not manage those. We capture the number, and there is in the slide deck a detail of what is the category. But the most important thing here, again, we are thinking informal and formal resolution, and we are now, this is the first time we publicly share how we are tracking from first, second, and third. Please keep in mind, you need to read this a column at a time, because we may receive 10 complaints or 10 inquiries that make it through the first notice, but only 5 go out to the second notice. Guess why? Because they get resolved or addressed. So this is to show how the number decreases as we go, and our objective is hopefully not to get to third notice. So this type of reporting is helping us a lot. We're even now trying to break it down by top-level domains in the regions and the volume. As you see here, we have something that says something, it's an unknown region. Again, it's the tool, the capturing of the complaint, and all of those, they do get through the complaint queue, but will require more manual assessment to understand where that's coming from. And hopefully with the enhancements that we'll put together, it will eliminate this. So again, we are able to slice and dice the data now differently to help us make more fact-based decisions on the activities and initiatives that we want to work towards. So with that, I know I ran quickly. I apologize. I tried to respect, because it's 3 o'clock now. We're going to do a 5-minute break. 3:05, we're going to start the outreach discussion for registry focus. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your patience. I know. And it's not about me, I know, but it's about who I represent and what we work on. Your feedback is always greatly appreciated. Break time.